Alrighty, Rosebuds Nation, what's up? What's going on? Eddie and Len back at you. Happy Hoppy April. It's one of my favorite Easter jokes.
Oh.
You like that? You like what I did there? We have, oh, you heard her. The little Easter Bunny on the line tonight. A very special guest, someone that is most certainly on the franchise for the right reasons. Ladies and gentlemen, let's put your lovely hands together for someone that believes in true love and someone that will find true love. Ladies and gentlemen, Anna Lee.
Woo!
Woo!
Am I supposed to cheer for myself? Hi.
No, that's a, you can do whatever you want, Annalise. Yeah.
You
welcome.
Do you, girl. What's up? Welcome to Rose.
I liked that intro. I would love like to walk into a room all the time and have intros like that so that then you don't have to do like the niceties when you're meeting people. You're like, you already heard.
Yeah.
Heard like, stuff about me.
People, this is who I am, right? Line up.
Yeah.
That is a good point because you know, how many times are you
like, I feel
like
that.
Go ahead.
No, I feel like that's like all my guy friends because they're always like rooting for me, or actually all my friends in general. But I feel like all my guy friends are a little bit like different about when they're trying to push me onto their friends. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So that's like totally what they would be saying to their other like guy friends or girlfriends. Like, hey guys, we need to set this girl up.
There you go. All right, mm-hmm. So it's Annalise. You know her from Ari season. You know her from Bachelor in Paradise. Get at her on Instagram, Annalise P. A-N-N-A-L-I-E-S-E, the letter P. Great Instagram follow. We'll get into that at the end. So, again, Ari season and Bachelor in Paradise. Poor girl has had her heart broken more than anyone on this goddamn show. So let's... I like to start in chronological order, but Lynn likes to bump around. So let's start with the Bachelor... you were on Ari season. So I did a ton of research looking into your application story, but I could not find it many places. How did you apply for the show? What made you do it? How'd you get involved with the Bachelor Nation?
So I'm actually, this is always a weird question because I'm not totally sure how it all came to be. I auditioned for the show when I was like 24 years old, like after my first serious relationship. And I think I just did it like, I was in my grandma's city. We were visiting her, and there was like an open casting at a casino. And I went with my mom and my grandma, and it was like, you know, definitely not taking it too seriously, but just going for the fun of it. They were fans of the show, or are fans of the show, and I got a call, but I never responded to it. And then 10 years, well, almost 10 years, 8 years later or so, I think I just got like a bunch of nominations, and I must have been in the system or something, and I was contacted one day from somebody from casting, and they were like, literally five people in our office just said, like, you need to find this girl and like get a hold of her now. So, yeah, it was kind of weird. I think it was just like right timing, and I was single, and everything just sort of fell into place.
Huh. That is very interesting.
That is interesting. I wonder, you kind of said that other people had to have nominated you. I wonder if like you were just still in the system, or you know for a fact people nominated you.
I know. So there's a girl, Daniela McBride, who was on, I'm trying to think what season she was. I want to say she was on Sean's season maybe. And she and I actually went to the same high school. And so we have some mutual friends, and she apparently had nominated me as well. So yeah, I think it was just a lot of things happening at the same time. And, like I said, they obviously were like, okay, what is going on with this person? Like, let's at least talk to her and figure out if we're interested.
I love that.
Okay.
All right. So you're on the show. You're picked. You make it past the first, all that BS. Let's talk about your limo entrance. I thought it was a great one. The kissing bandit with the mask, obviously playing off of Ari's title. Where did that idea come from?
It
was a good one. It was classic.
Ah, thanks. Yeah, it's funny. I feel like people either like loved it or hated it for sure. But I'm a creative person, and I want to do my own idea, and I want it to be something that like ties into him and something a little funny and cheeky. But then I also was like, it's sort of like a little bit of a sexy thing too. I feel like to be slightly, it's not like full costume, but it's like a little bit mysterious. And I feel like it went well. They really wanted me to like tell him I would take the mask off if he kissed me, but I was like, no, I don't know if I'm comfortable with that.
Yeah.
So the mask stayed on a little bit longer, but it was a weird thing because I was the only person in any sort of like costume capacity from my season.
Yeah.
Which like usually you get like a couple sort of, you know, gimmicky kind of things or whatever.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. You were the only one in costume, and you put it on. And the good thing about your thing is that it was technically still a costume, but you were able to wear a dress and, like,
you could still show the goods.
Yes.
Exactly. Show them off. Especially on that first night, I feel like you kind of got to show it off.
Oh, you got it.
Yeah.
You got
it. Definitely.
What was the drinking situation night one? Was it still pretty strict? I know ever since everything, the first Bachelor in Paradise situation, they've been kind of cutting back. Was it, or were people getting wasted?
Yeah, I feel like people, it's definitely more controlled now. It's like hard to, I think it's hard to like get drunk really. But then at the same time, I feel like for me personally, I didn't want to ever get drunk. I wanted to like keep my wits about me and they're really long nights and you're exhausted and you're like maybe not eating how you normally would eat. And so, but no, I think actually, I'm trying to think back to my night one. I feel like it was really tame. I feel like that was forever ago, but it was really tame.
Okay.
And I actually think like they were saying that our group of girls was one of the more sort of like conservative in terms of like we wanted to go to bed over staying up all night and raging, whereas like other groups sometimes were like partying all night. Even when cameras weren't rolling, they were just like, let's have some fun.
I thought you were going to say your group of girls were like kind of the most chill and normal. I was like, oh, you guys had Crystal on your season.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we were definitely like chill in the way of that we were just like taking, I think, a little bit more seriously maybe. Or we just wanted, or we were just always like wanting to think about the next day and like prepare ourselves a little bit mentally and physically. Yeah.
That's fair. All right. So you make it past night one and then, oh boy, my heart. Were you had the goddamn bumper car situation and followed up with the dog situation, so I know you've had it replayed 1,000 times and it's been over a year ago now, but like, so what was this drama or traumatic experience that set you off with the bumper cars?
So I mean, to be honest, I didn't even really know, like in the moment it just felt like, where is all of this coming from? Like, why am I having such a reaction to this? Because also I'm like not a super, super emotional person in real life, but I just think in that environment, everything's so heightened. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, there was a lot of things. I, had somebody die in a car accident that year. I had an ex-boyfriend who died in a car accident. There was like a lot of like car stuff that physically like scared me because I was like, man, you can actually get hurt or killed or whatever. And they didn't show the safety briefing, but the guy going over all the safety things for the bumper cars, it was not settling at all. So my nerves were like through the roof. But the bumper car thing, yeah, it's funny because it was just like this weird thing where all of a sudden I was like, that's where I feel like it came from. You know, like it seems like that was the memory that like was in my head of this, this bumper car moment that happened probably when I was like 7 years old. But I actually went to, or I have been going to therapy pretty much since the show. And I think I've sort of like uncovered what else was like going on at that time in my life. And that's such an impressionable time. And I think, you know, the thing that I've learned from this is like, yes, maybe it's a very laughable like thing. People like love to make fun of me for it. But I also have learned that trauma can come from literally anything. And I've had so many people reach out to me with either similar stories or something where they really could relate and connect to me based off of it. And I felt like, okay, well, you know what? Like I'd rather be the butt of a joke, but be helping somebody, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It is what it is. Like it happened and I'm never going to like apologize for saying that happened or anything, because it's like it's my history, it's who I am now, and yes, that happened.
Yeah, so you gave some great context, which of course the show would never air that, because then it wouldn't be a funny joke and they wouldn't make it a satire like it was. But you had actual car issues, like, and you're doing a thing where you crash into each other. That would scare the shit out of me. So when you were when you were watching it back and you saw Jenny Delaney make that comment, what were you thinking about that?
So I texted her like right after it aired, and I was like, I just want to give you like a little bit of backstory and like kind of fill you into like everything else as well, just like give her a little bit of knowledge. And she fully apologized and was just like, I you're right, like I shouldn't have been making fun of it. So obviously, like, I love her. There's no bad blood there at all. But yeah, no, I felt like probably everyone was rolling their eyes at me that day, but there were a couple of girls that were definitely being very supportive and kind of understanding, even though it was like, wait, you, what, you know what I mean? Like, yes, I guess if somebody said that to me, I would probably be like, you have bumper car trauma. Like, that seems ridiculous. But now having like lived through it and having thought, like processing why I was having those feelings, like it actually, I feel like it makes sense. And yeah, like I said, I'm not like ashamed or embarrassed of it now. Maybe I was a little bit then, because I was like, man, this is how I'm in the Bachelor world now, forever known.
No. But everybody is going to listen to this podcast if they haven't heard you explain it before, and the truth is out there.
Yeah, good point. Golden question. Have you been on bumper cars since then?
I have not. I never have any desire to go in bumper cars ever again. I'm sure at some point in my life I will. I'll have like a kid or something that will say like, I want to go on bumper cars. Yep. And then they'll be like, Mom, come with me, and I'll have to do it. But yeah, I don't know. And I also don't know if bumper cars are as bad as they were when I was a kid. I feel like when I was a kid, they were just like a little bit more reckless.
I've seen bumper cars. This is a true story. For Eddie, for Joey's opening day, you know how they had the carnival in the parking lot? Well, so how old was Patty then? 4, maybe? Mm-hmm. And he wanted to go on the bumper cars, and it was like his first time. And so, of course, I was like, okay, I'll go with you. And I was scared to death. And I'm like, I go on like any kind of ride. I love them. And same. I was on there, and I was just like, holy, like it was just like way more jerky than I remembered it.
Really?
It's just like constant whiplash. Like, who would want that?
I was very
life?
Concerned. I was very, very concerned.
That's a fair point. All right. So, bumper cars, they're in the past. We love them. Next time you go on it, you will be a brave woman, Annalise. I got you.
Guys, I will fully document it. I'm sure it will be on my Instagram if it ever happens.
Love it.
So from bumper cars, the other trauma, and then we'll move on to some fun stuff. The dog situation. Now, your dog, I was bit by a dog. But
Eddie, you're just going for it. But you want to talk about it.
I love how you're like, we're going to keep this light.
I'm like, Eddie, what the hell? I have other things I want to talk to you about.
If we don't talk about it.
I'm literally rolling my eyes at him.
Listen, folks, if we don't talk about the goddamn bumper car and the dog, people will bitch. Why didn't you talk about the bumper car? So we're doing it for the people, okay?
All right, let's go, Harry Potter.
The dog. All right, so I was bit by a dog, but yours was like seriously bit by a dog. So I'm with you on the dog situation.
Yeah, I mean, I love dogs. That's like the really thing. The thing that I was the most upset about with how it was aired was just that I am a total animal lover, have always been. And so when people were like, you hate dogs, you're a terrible person, I was like, but I don't hate dogs. Like, I've actually been in the process trying to adopt a dog for quite some time, but my schedule, I feel like I would be a very bad person to adopt a dog at this moment in time because I travel so much. But anyway, so I love animals. I love dogs. So I was with my grandma, actually, my grandparents, actually, when I was probably like 1.5 years old, something like that. And my parents were out of the country. Mind you, this was before like email, cell phones, all of that. It was their first trip like out of the country. And they left me with my grandparents. And my grandparents had a dog that was kind of elderly and had a back injury. And I was hugging her, got too close, as a lot of children do, and she bit me. And the doctor, like, this is something that I grew up always hearing from my parents and my grandparents, is they said that I almost lost my eye because of, I guess, where the bite was. And like, but I think I had at least 19 stitches. And so I have scars like all around my eye. Obviously, I was very young, so like they look fairly non there or whatever, but so that's my dog story.
Oh my goodness. So
but
wait,
I still love the dog. That's the really funny thing, like they didn't put the dog down. I have a picture with that same dog like 3 years later hugging that same dog. Aww. So I mean, I didn't hate her for it.
So wait, I mean, the parent in me is thinking, I am abroad and my daughter is getting 19 stitches in her eye. Like, what was the timeline? Like, how long until your parents found out that you had this happen?
Well, that was the thing. So like, again, because it was before cell phones or internet. So my grandparents just made the executive decision not to tell my parents.
That's probably a good move. It's probably
yeah, because they were like, what do they do? They'd get on a plane and hustle back, and you know, like there's nothing they can do at this point. She's right. fine. And so they just waited. So then my parents got off the plane, and I guess we were there waiting at the airport for them, and probably like right at the gate. and I had a big patch on my eye, and so of course
welcome
my
home.
Yeah, my grandma still to this day is just like mortified that that happened, but you know, it's like she wasn't a mean dog. Like I always remember too, they said, the doctor said, if the dog really wanted to hurt me, she would have. This was like her nipping at me to say like no, but because you're so young and your skin is so delicate, it's like it actually happens very often.
All right, Eddie, anything else you want to ask here?
Take it away, Lynn. Annalise,
let's
again.
Just get to like the real stuff.
Go ahead, Lynn.
All right, well, while we're on the topic of your original season, who were you close with, or who are you, you know, your post out, who are you close with from your original season?
I don't feel like I talk to that many people right now just because everyone's so busy and spread out, but
right.
I would say that like Kendall, I feel like was probably the person that I got the closest to when I was there, or maybe not when I was there, but maybe afterwards, like we sort of really stayed in touch. And then again, like right now, I feel like she's just like traveling around the world.
Oh my gosh.
Joe, and
what are your thoughts on them?
Oh, I love them. I love them so much, but it's, you know, so I'll go to LA and I'm like, oh, I want to see her, and you know, she'll be someplace else. So, but I do like, I keep in touch with people a little bit, but not, it's just sort of weird. Like life sort of starts to just get back to normal. At least it has for me. And then you just sort of get back to your regular things. And it's like any friend who lives in another city or state. It's like, you maybe, you're like, call them up when you're going to be in town or something, you're not like on the phone every day.
Yeah, no, that definitely makes sense. So got to hit on one of the most controversial girls from your season, Crystal. Get your quick take on Crystal and now Bachelor in Paradise Team Glitter Goose. Are you a fan?
Yeah, I love them. Of course, during my season, I didn't get to know Crystal that well. I didn't really get to know anyone that well because I was only there for 3 weeks, but... Well, I got to know people well, but you know what I mean? Like, not as well as they got to know some of the other people. And I didn't see everything that happened with Crystal until, like, Women Tell All or until the episodes were airing. But I definitely didn't like Crystal from my season. And I think that she did a lot of, like, self-discovery and a lot of work on herself. And I think just became a lot more aware of, like, some of the behaviors that she was showing. And so... I felt like the Crystal that we saw on The Bachelor versus the Crystal we saw in Paradise were very different people. And at first I was a little bit like, what's going on? But I feel like the one we saw in Paradise was way more true to who Crystal is. I think, again, it was like the pressures and just the environment of The Bachelor. And I think just for everyone going, like the very first time you're in that environment, it is nerve-wracking. It is like, it makes you go crazy, even if you are the most sane person ever. Being on Paradise, though, it's kind of like going into it again. You like have, you're a little bit more confident, like even though it's still something new, you just feel a little bit more at ease and like you can be yourself. But I really like Chris is actually one of the people that I'm probably the closest to, like in the franchise. And I mean, they're such a great couple. I feel like they're so perfect together. So I'm really,
adorable.
Really happy for them. Yeah.
That's great to hear. All right. Last closing question from that season. What are your thoughts now on Ari and Lauren?
I think they, again, like it was funny. So when the whole Becca, Ari, Lauren thing happened, I sort of was like, yes, of course, how it happened was terrible. And I felt awful for Becca. But at the same time, I was like, I felt like the right choice was Lauren because I got to know Lauren pretty well. She was one of my roommates. And so I felt like their personalities are so two peas in a pod. Like they are the same person. They just get each other. I felt like I saw that from very early on. And so, and I also just felt like, you know what, if that is the person that you're supposed to be with, then like you got to do what's right for you, even if it is going to hurt a couple people and or make some people mad or whatever. But
gotta be selfish in love. My grandma always said that.
Totally. And I feel like they just watching their Instagram or like chatting with her, we'll like text and stuff still. I just feel like they're so well matched and they look so happy together. And I'm really happy that they're like, everything is just happening for them, you know, just seems like they're in a really good place.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you very much. We can close that chapter, Eddie, and get to the nice,
juicy. I
don't
like this animosity you have.
It's not animosity. I just, you know, I appreciate it. But there's so much I want to talk about.
Then let's dive on in. Again, Annalise, follow her on Instagram, Annalise P. A great Instagram. All right, so you ship sail for Mexico. You're on Bachelor in Paradise. You're ready. You're going to find your person. A lot of things happen. Let's get to the juice of paradise. So I know we're now almost a year removed, but when you hear the word.
It's crazy that was a year ago.
Yeah, it is crazy.
Wow, totally just. When you hear the word.
Flew by.
When you hear the word Camille, what do you think of now?
Well, it's.
Oh, you weren't asking me?
General question.
No, it's really funny because he's like come up in conversation a couple times recently. And I have zero feeling about it, like, or about him. I obviously want the best. Well, I guess I shouldn't say obviously, but I am one of those people that I'm too nice sometimes. I do want the best for him. I even though like I don't like how things ended, I don't think he's a terrible person. And I know a lot of people probably won't like that, but that's
no. I very much can respect you. I respect your take on it. As an outsider, just watching it, I felt like the whole time. I don't know. I just felt like. You were too good for him. Honestly, I'll say it like how I felt. And so to think that from the beginning of watching it and then to see how things ended. Oh, I'm still infuriated about it. So I'm glad that you moved on because that's what matters. But, you know, give us some tea here.
Well, I mean, the thing too is that, so yes, things were terrible when it ended. So he and I actually, well, it's very funny. After the reunion was filmed, it still didn't air for like 2 weeks. And in that 2 week period, it was a really weird, very weird time. I was in Los Angeles just for a couple days right after the reunion. And I was going to fly home and the girls from the show, my friends at home were like, no, stay. Like, this is like, don't let him get to you, blah, blah, blah. And so I'm like, okay, fine. But I was a mess, you know? And so two of my best friends flew down. Like, one's a trainer and a mom and the other one's a lawyer. Like, they have real, real commitments in life. And they took off work, booked a hotel, booked flights, got a rental car, flew down to be with me.
That's
and,
so sweet.
Yeah, but so Camille was still in town. He was still in Los Angeles. We were all sort of like in town for the week. We all had like events and stuff we were going to. And so they actually like ambushed him because he wanted to have a serious conversation on the beach, which I thought we should have too, just to like get a little kind of closure around everything that happened at the reunion, because it was just such a, I mean, it was a total, total blindside. And there was, we had no communication about that happening or.
And you specifically said, do not blindside me.
Exactly. And even like during the reunion show, there was no, no understanding of like, why. I mean, I still kind of like don't understand why it fully happened. But anyway, so he and I went to the beach one day and we just sat and talked for like an hour. And it was one of the best conversations we ever had. And then I was like, okay, so that was cool. But now my friends are on the beach and they want to talk to you too. And he's like, what? So then we walk up to my friends and they're like, okay, Annalise, take a hike. So he sat and talked to them for, I don't know, over an hour. And I felt like there was just a lot of understanding, a lot of closure in just those couple conversations. And then it was weird, like for the next, I would say almost 2 weeks, week and a half, he and I talked every day, like long conversations. And it was so confusing because we were, I felt like in a better place than we had ever been, even when we were in a relationship. And so then I was like, you know, I can't do this. Like, this is getting way, way too confusing. And because we're not together, like, we're not, you know. And then, like, so the reunion aired. And once it aired, I think that was another, like, as soon as I saw it, I didn't realize how bad it was. I think I was, like, actually so numb to what happened that I didn't realize how bad it was. So when I actually watched it back, I was like, I just can't, like, this is, that was way, way worse than I remembered it being. It was bad enough living through it once, but living through it twice was terrible. And like having gone through it with like my mom, like I remember watching it back and she started crying on the couch next to me. And I was just like, I mean, it was it was like one of the most heartbreaking things to relive it and having like everyone else relive it who you're, you know, loves you. So then, we didn't really speak for like 2 weeks. And then, my dad went to the hospital and my friends reached out to him to let him know, like, hey, guess, you know, I just want to let you know, Annalise's dad went to the hospital, like, if you want to be there for her. And, these are the friends that he had met. And so during, like, there was, my dad was in the hospital for 10 days and then he passed away and it was very sudden. So during that time he was checking up on me and he like, you know, would he sent a letter when my dad passed. So I felt like that's the thing too, even though I feel like our relationship was definitely shown in one light, but there was so, so, so much more to our connection and our relationship. And I feel bad speaking. I never want to speak badly about him anyways, but I feel like there was so much more that I don't want to like, minimize. Like I know what he and I had and he knows what we had. And so just for us, I don't care about anyone else, but I don't want to minimize what we had. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And, but I think somebody said he's in a relationship, so I'm very happy for him. And, I of course wish him the best, and that's kind of where we are with Camille. It. Full story.
That is full story. All right. So you, mm-hmm. So what I'm hearing, obviously all we see on TV is this shithead thing that he did, right? So, and now you're saying all the actions you have taken afterwards, he did the wrath of your friends, he talked to you on the beach, he wrote you that letter, he was there for you. So a shithead person does not do all that stuff, so I'm inclined to believe, obviously, what you're saying, that he's a good person. That being said, did you find any scoop or did you talk to any producers that, like, the show put him up to it? Because that's my theory. Whenever something like that happens, a good person's not just going to blindside you for good TV. I think someone's in their ear. Did you hear anything about that? Or do you have any conspiracy theories about that?
I mean, I think that he probably was feeling maybe like he wasn't. I always feel like when people ask me like what went wrong there or whatever, I always just feel like he wasn't ready for the type of relationship that I was ready for. And I think that different circumstances, like, who knows, maybe we would have stayed together. Maybe, you know, things could have been differently or would have been differently. But I definitely believe things happen for a reason. So, but I mean, I don't know. I think that he must have had some feeling, because I always remember afterwards him saying to me, like, I didn't want to break up with you, but like I did. And like, I feel terrible about it. And I'm like, well, you are not trying to get me back. So,
thank you.
So obviously, So obviously there was some truth in it. So I'm like, you know, it's over then.
All right.
And that's it.
Well, thank you for sharing all of that.
Mm-hmm.
My favorite thing to talk about from Bachelor in Paradise that I am still obsessed with for some weird reason. Would love your thoughts on the whole Jenna Jordan situation. I think it's like amazing that it just dropped, like it just disappeared. Nobody's talking about it. It's just not an issue.
Yeah,
please give me your thoughts.
It is the weirdest thing. I wish I knew. Like, people are always like, "Well, you're like friends with Jenna." I don't get it. Like, what happened? I'm like, I have no idea what happened. It was such a weird, like the timing of it was weird. Just the kind of showmanship of like. This, you know, we hired lawyers and like everything was just so weird about
it. Crazy. And it's just dropped. I can't believe it. I'm not over it.
I definitely am over it, but I'm like waiting for one of them to get in a relationship and actually like move on from it. I feel like they're both still, I mean, I don't know. Jenna's like traveling the world and
I know. I just saw like, her holding up the Tower of Pisa.
Yeah, I know. So I mean, I feel like they're doing well, but it was weird. It was definitely weird. I don't have any strong like cuz I just don't know what happened. So I don't have any like strong opinions. I loved them together in Paradise. It was really funny cuz I mean, I was connected to Jordan at the very beginning and I really knew like from the start that Jordan and I were never going to be a thing, but my thing going into Paradise last year was just like, I'm going to be open. That was like my number one. It was like my mantra. I'm going to be open. And so, which maybe got me in trouble a little bit because I was trying so hard to be, like if somebody wasn't my normal type or their personality, I wasn't like vibing with right away. I was like, I'm going to give this person a chance. And so anyways, when Jenna came in though, I was like, okay, this makes so much more sense. Like, please, please go and have a relationship. This makes way more sense than you and I. So.
Yeah. I mean, we are on the case, Lynn. We keep telling everyone no one's talking about it. We're goddamn talking about it. We'll get to it.
You're going to talk to somebody who's going to know.
Yeah,
I have
someone, I won't name drop them, that I think knows that I may have to shoot a text if we don't keep getting answers.
Okay.
We have interviewed her on the show. That's all I'll say.
Okay. Zola.com. Have you heard of it? Check it out. You getting married, engaged, thinking about it? So many decisions to make during this time. Let us help you by saying Zola will be the easiest decision you have to make. Join over 500,000 couples who are already using Zola. It's a free wedding website that's so easy to use and takes just minutes to set up. You can have the details of your wedding and your registry all under one website. It makes the registering process for newlywed life so easy. Also, for your guests, they love free shipping and free returns. Also, price matching. It's amazing. You can also create funds, so whether you want to save for your honeymoon, a future home, a new puppy, whatever you want. And last but not least, something I need to tell you is about the completion discount. You get 20% off the remaining items on your registry. So at the end of the day, when your wedding's over and you still have things on your registry you haven't gotten, you can buy them yourself and get 20% off. That is amazing.
That is unreal. To start your free wedding website and also get $50 off your registry, go to zola.com/rosebuds. That's zola.com/rosebuds. That link is in our bio. $50 off your registry and start your free wedding website, zola.com/rosebuds.
Check it out.
Wait, another kind of hotter off the streets, not really Bachelor in Paradise. Clay and Angela, they are broken up. Is that true?
I know. I'm so sad about that.
What happened there?
I have no idea what happened, but they were literally like, I felt like couple goals. They were the cutest couple together.
They were adorable.
Yeah.
And I like had spent time with them as a couple and I was like, they're great. Like, I don't know. I texted Angela after it happened and like she's doing well. So I have no idea. I'm sorry. I'm like a little out of the loop when it comes to that stuff. Like superficially, I know like things are good, but nothing deeper.
Yeah. No, I hear that's fine. Bachelor in Paradise, I'm on the records. Obviously my favorite show of the franchise. I live for it. I love it. The gossip, all the hooking up. I just live for it. It's what I need in life. That being said, Annalise.
It is quality TV.
Annalise, will we be seeing you on Mexico on the beach in a couple weeks or what?
Oh, I have no idea. Ooh. I don't know.
I would say
we think we will.
This is my thing. I would never say no if I'm single.
Oh, shit. So what are you saying?
Well, I don't know. I'm just saying if I'm we're still like a month and a half away or something, almost 2 months away. A lot can happen. And so I feel like there's rumored that people are like confirmed. I feel like no one can actually be confirmed until they're literally stepping onto the beach. So,
right, yeah, because we have heard people have just like went for a week and stayed in a hotel and never went down to the island. I would say, Lynn, we haven't talked about this, so feel free to chime in. Other than Demi, I think Demi is like the number one shoo-in. I honestly think Annalise is like number two for like most wanted in Paradise.
I'm just thinking about Colton's girls. Right.
I think Hannah G.
I was going to say that's exactly who I was thinking. The whole Hannah G. Blake thing that's being built, you know. But I would say outside of the most current season in Bachelor Nation, definitely Annalise. Oh my gosh. I mean,
and you'd be a
sorry, Camille, for being a dick, but thank you for like serving up on a silver platter like the perfect. You could have been the Bachelorette.
Yeah. That's a good point. Yeah. We usually save these questions for the end, but we're just in it right now.
Who in
Bachelor Nation, any guys that you like, you know, hey,
put on your card that you're interested in?
It's really, so last year when I went into Paradise, I had like a couple guys that I was interested in seeing, and Camille was like at the top of my list. And this year there's nobody that I actually feel like that's a good place to be, because then you're not like,
yeah, no expectations.
You have no expectations. You're also not like forcing yourself to, I really wanted to stay every week because I wanted him to show up, or I wanted somebody to like, there was a couple people I was like interested in meeting, but he was sort of the one that I knew that I wanted to meet. And so I feel like, yeah, if I go back, it's just going to be very different because I won't have expectations. If it's not happening, it's not happening. I'm not going to like force something just to stick around to see who's going to come in tomorrow. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I kind of like that though. I'm actually trying not to even, like, probably the only person in Bachelor Nation is somebody who would never go, and that's Peter. So, so I'm like, he's probably the only person that I'd be like, oh, that would be cool if he would be there. But he's like said it many times that he would never go. So,
yeah, that's a good segue. I'm thinking like Annalise outside of Bachelor Nation, she like should be with like a stud football player. You know what I mean? Like a jacked, like tall dude that is just beautiful. Like where? So you live in San Francisco, someone on the 49ers. Jimmy Garoppolo. You should get with Jimmy Garoppolo, although he kind of dates porn stars. That's the quarterback.
I don't even know.
He's
okay.
The quarterback,
like, I don't even know who that is.
She's like, I don't know who he is, but sign me up.
He's very attractive.
It's really funny. I've never dated a professional sports or athlete. I'm a sports person, professional athlete. But I have a couple of girlfriends who are like, that's what I see you with too. That's like so far from my type usually. Like Camille is way more jacked than anyone that I've ever dated. No offense to any guy that I've ever dated if you thought you were that jacked. But
yeah, but Kenny was jacked too. He was a wrestler.
I know. That's true. But
my God, I forgot about
Kenny. But Kenny was also, Kenny's like not my normal type either. But he was like, Kenny, the thing is, so when he left, I was so emotional about him leaving because he became one of my like best friends while we were there. We just like had such great conversation, and I felt like we got each other. Like we were the two like old farts who like actually wanted to get married and have kids. And, you know, I felt like we were just like taking it a lot more seriously. And so, and again, no offense to anyone else, and you all might've been taking it very seriously. But yeah, so I was really bummed when he was leaving, more as like a friend, if anything else, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, so that brings up a good point. You two were like kind of, quote unquote, in your words, the old farts. How would you feel though about Paradise that most of the guys are like little 20-year-olds? Like, does that bother
I know it's
you?
Gonna be, well, the thing is though, that's from this season, but we never know who could be brought back from past seasons.
Mm. This is true.
And I feel like that's more intriguing to me, like those surprises. Because, you know who's from this season, like I'm sure once it starts airing, everyone's going to be like, okay, these guys will probably be there or whatever. But the guys who are from seasons past, like you kind of forget them. And then when they show up, they're like a beautiful surprise. So, so I don't know. I would date younger. I feel like it just sort of depends on where they are in life.
Age isn't indicative.
Yeah. I mean, I might like make out with a 26-year-old and not actually marry a 26-year-old, but like if he's really ready for marriage and for family, then why not?
True.
Love it. Love it.
My favorite thing is that when these guys get blown up for sliding into DMs, give us some of your best like DM slides, the most ridiculous thing that has landed in your inbox.
I don't know if I have really good ones. I get a lot of like, there was a period of time where I would get messages from this one person. This is not like a celebrity sliding in or anything. Is that okay? It's just like a random person.
Anything.
They would like say that they wanted to like slather me in barbecue sauce and lick my armpits and things like that. And
my God.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, I think I blocked the person, but then I like screenshotted it and put it on my Instagram story to like show it to everyone, because it, and there was like, I mean, it wasn't one message there. I think they like kept getting
they were slathering you with DMs.
Yeah. And then finally I was like, okay, this is, I got to show this to other people because this is out of control.
Oh my God.
That's the best one we've heard.
Yeah, that's really good.
That's
really
incredible.
Good.
Are you kidding me? What kind of
why are people so weird?
Because they think they're hiding. Like, it's not face to face. That's why internet trolls exist. That's why people are so mean on Instagram and Twitter. They think they can get away with it. But then
like,
you go to their.
If I am digging Annalise, I'm going to say, girl, I'm going to put barbecue sauce in you and lick your armpits. And she'll like me.
Well, it got through the clutter. We're talking about them.
True.
And what if she loves barbecue sauce? What if that's a weird fetish of her?
I mean, I was going to say, like, yeah, there it could be just a weird, you found your kindred fetish person and you're like, oh my God, that's
you should have responded
too.
And been like, oh my God, I've been waiting for somebody to say that to me.
I think that was the thing. I think that I can't remember now because this was like a year ago probably. I almost feel like I probably responded with like a ha 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 because I thought it was a joke. And then they were like,
oh no,
fully uh-oh. Went into.
Oh, you did that to yourself.
I know.
What's the whole thing with the like different barbecue sauces? Like North Carolina or
sweet, tangy.
I would have been like sweet, tangy. Like what kind of
sauce?
Yeah,
I would have fucked with them. Damn, that's a good one. Holy shit. Girl,
yeah.
Oh my gosh! Thank you for that laugh, Annalise.
Holy shit!
That was wonderful.
That was good
question.
I thought that was gonna be like a lame one. Like,
no,
I like
loved
we'll
it.
Probably okay. Good.
I love how she's like, I don't have any good ones except for this one weirdo.
Except for this like barbecue sauce licking my armpits thing.
I mean, I have other ones, but I feel like I can't. They're like not appropriate. That's like probably the funniest thing that I ever got. But
yeah. I believe it. Whatever you say now, I believe.
All right, so are you still in California right now?
I am. Okay. I'm in San Francisco right now.
Awesome. Oh my gosh, I love San Francisco.
Alcatraz.
Golden Gate, Fisherman's Wharf.
That's all I know.
Just all the touristy.
Oh my gosh.
Alcatraz is cool.
I love San Francisco.
Was there a question or are you just
there
asking
is,
her?
But now I'm just reminiscing about San Fran. Okay. So it looks like you guys had a fun weekend on the Napa wine train. You went to a winery that I had been to and really liked. So first off, what was the deal with this weekend? Like what brought you all together? It looks like an interesting group. Like give us some tea from the weekend.
So it was it was a Red Cross like charity event. And so all the proceeds went to the Red Cross. And it was partnered with If Only. So there was people who were like winners to come on this train with us. And yeah, it was just like really chill. It was a bunch of, I mean, from pictures on Instagram, it was a bunch of Bachelor people. And then Stephanie Pratt was there from The Hills, and Gianna Kramer was there, who is like a country singer, was on Dancing with Stars, One Tree Hill. Like she's got a whole big old laundry list of things she's done, and Tanya Rad. And so I'm trying to think if there's anyone else that I'm missing that was like not from Bachelor. But yeah, it was just a great group of people, and it was just so fun because that was a very rare thing, I feel like, to get people together where, like, we all spent the entire day together, the entire evening together, you know, had breakfast together the next day. And it's just, like, nice to see people outside of filming or where you're very – you're, like, on, you know, you have to be on. I mean, we had to be on a little bit because we were, you know, with people who had won these tickets. So, like, we definitely – wanted to make sure that they were getting the most out of what they won. But yeah, it was just really fun. And it's also just great to get to know people from other casts. I feel like there's some people from other casts that I've gotten to know recently, and it's just such a family and just because like you may be closer to somebody else from like another cast, you know, like your BFF from Bachelor Nation may come from another season. So it is cool to just to get to know people and have that like family continue to extend as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's a hell of a way to spend a weekend. You get a little wine drunk. Did anyone do any canoodling, or was there any kind of footsie playing with these people?
I heard Ashley and Jared were.
Oh, shut up. God damn
I mean, Ashley and Jared are adorable. And Actually, I feel like you kind of have like a voice doppelganger with Jared. Do you ever get that?
Wait, so it's so freaking funny. We interviewed them two episodes ago and people were like confused at who was Eddie and who was Jack. Yeah.
That's like become a thing for me recently. I'm like, oh my God, you have the voice doppelganger of, I wonder if there's like another saying for that, not doppelganger, but a voice one. Anyway, so yeah, they were adorable. Stephanie Pratt and Derek were hanging out again together. I don't know if you guys have heard about that, that little romance.
Derek, what's his last name?
Derek, we've got now.
From
now
Taylor?
Perth.
Yeah. I know what you mean. I see it
Derek
in my
and
head.
Derek and Taylor.
Yeah,
from Derek and Taylor, yeah.
You know, that Disney Channel show.
Yeah, it definitely sounds like that. But I think that was it. I'm trying to think. I mean, then just like lots of, everyone was just hanging out. Nobody was excluding themselves from the group to canoodle, as you say.
All right, that's fair. I guess if I said random and I said normal, you know, like fans of the show with not within the franchise were there, it'd be a little weird. People are like,
we're all people, you know.
Lynn, we are all people. All right, Annalise, you've been so gracious with your time. We end all episodes with this little game we play. It's called One Word, One Answer.
Our signature game.
Holla. Ooh, voice crack. We run down a list of words and phrases, and you give your gut reaction, the first thought that pops into your head.
All right.
Sound good?
Mm-hmm.
All right, Lynn, why don't you start it off?
Why don't I start it, Ed?
Yeah, Lynn, why don't you start it
off?
All right.
Here we go, Bachelor Rosebud Nation. We are playing One Word, One Answer with Annalise. All right, Kendall.
Taxidermy.
Ari.
I don't know. Race car.
Chris Harrison.
Rose.
Colton.
Virgin.
Kenny.
I feel like these are all just what they do. Wrestler.
Jenna.
Coconuts.
San Francisco.
Home.
Tia.
Accent.
Jordan.
Golden underwear.
Ben Higgins.
Sweetheart.
Jenny Delaney.
Art.
Chelsea.
Mom.
Venmo John.
I love John. He's not Venmo John anymore. John. I'll say John.
Nice. Love it. All right. A couple more. Becca Kufrin.
Bachelorette.
Barbecue sauce.
Toes.
I love that. All right. That was a good one.
That was
Annalise.
Classic.
That was a classic. That was fun. Again, Annalise.
You were also, let's just give her a little feedback. Annalise, you were incredible at that game.
Yeah, you were on.
Oh,
you
really?
Will be alarmed like, to think.
It was like fully just the obvious, like stating the obvious.
But your ability to actually come up with a response is unlike any of your peers.
Yes. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Some people just couldn't. They had nothing. Or nothing that they could say.
They were probably trying to think like too far out of the box.
Or they were like CYAing because they didn't have nice things that they thought of.
Yeah.
That's a good point. That's a good point. Annalise, this has been terrific. Go ahead. A great Instagram account. Give her a follow. Annaliesep.
Good answer.
I think it sounds like nobody ever knows how to spell it.
Yeah. Annalise P on Instagram. Great follow. We'll be checking out your Instagram. Hopefully we'll see you in Mexico.
Yeah,
never know.
We'll see.
We'll stay tuned. Thank you so much for calling in tonight. Enjoy Cali. Enjoy San Fran.
Yeah.
Have fun.
Are you gonna be there for a while?
I'm traveling still a bunch, like for the next for the rest of the year basically. I have a lot of trips planned, so
awesome.
But yes, I am here for a bit.
All right, enjoy.
All righty, Annalise, we will
if you're coming to Philly, let us know.
Yeah, if you're on the East Coast.
Oh, absolutely.
We'll do this again.
Sounds good.
All right, thank you so much. Have a great rest
of
your night.
Thank you.
Take care.
Hi, I'm Python. I listen to Gross Butt with Mommy and Uncle Eddie.